The Gulf Coast Growth Show is sponsored by Chevron Pasadena Refinery and is an extension of the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region, where our mission is to market and grow a vibrant regional economy.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Gulf Coast Growth Show. I am your co-host, Zeke Smith, filling in the big seat for Jason Lee, who's out this week. And filling in for me, I guess.
Yes, I'm the backup.
Our illustrious president and CEO of the Economic Alliance, Chad Burke.
Third string.
He's the Ryan Fitzmagic of co-hosts on our show here. And then our guest this week is our old friend, Stuart Foles, VP of Business Development and Strategy for Cajun Industries. Stuart, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. We'll keep the hard-hitting questions for later, buddy.
So, please do.
Let's jump right in. So, sure. I want to hear about you, buddy, your story. Obviously, I've known you for several years. You've been around this region and the Alliance for some time as well. So give us the backstory, the story of Stuart, how you got here from the swamps of Louisiana all the way to Houston, and how you became in the role to Cajun there for us.
Well, thanks, Zeke. I appreciate the introduction. Yes, Zeke is correct. My tenure started out in the swamps of Louisiana. Made my way to LSU. I'm a fighting tiger. And then through that, I went to chemical engineering, and all roads after engineering at LSU lead through Houston, Texas, mm-hmm. pretty much, especially if you're oil and gas.
Sure.
So out of college, I moved over to Houston and started my career in oil and gas, really mainly downstream. So Zeke and I have known each other for years. We worked together at Nalco Champion for about 15 years in the past. And at that time, I had several different roles, from marketing roles to operations roles to business development roles to my final role was VP of Global Strategy. So I traveled quite a bit around the world and got exposed to different cultures and how they do business. Through that process, I met the owners of my current company at some of the AFPM board meetings and started getting interested in construction. And then grew to love it after some time and jumped over into construction. And it's a much more fun place to meet customers and to build big and exciting things. Mm. You know, now the things I get to work on are impacting people's lives, jobs. How do you grow a community versus, you know, how do you grow different cultures around the world? But that's a little bit about my background. So from a Cajun perspective, what we do is we're an EPC company. We're okay. mainly a GC company, where we will look to do construction work around mechanical, civil, deep foundations. We have a marine group as well,
okay.
and some engineering group that's basically driven through construction projects. So our focus really is Gulf Coast, but we do branch out on the lower 48.
Okay. And I assume since it's Cajun, you're based in Iowa, is where they're based.
Yeah. East Texas, good East Texas company. No, we are based. Our home base is Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We were founded by a gentleman named Lane Grigsby. We just celebrated our 50th year this year.
Congrats!
So really big milestone. We've actually been in the Houston market for over 20 years. Okay. We're really just picking up probably in the last 5 to 7 years. Through COVID, we've shifted our strategy, which for most companies, COVID was sort of a hit. For us, we looked at it as an opportunity to redevelop strategy, and we can get into that more later, but COVID for us was actually a good thing.
So tell us about your role quickly at Cajun,
sure.
What you're doing day to day. I know we've talked before the show and often at other meetings, what you're doing day to day.
So as my role in Cajun, really what I'm looking at is how do we approach the market? What market segments do we go after? With the ever-changing landscape between IRA bills and other opportunities with global demand, how do you shift your focus between an oil and gas to now renewables, semiconductors, other things? So okay. As part of my role in Cajun, I have a group of folks where we look at the customers, what customers we go after, who we partner with, contracts, and also just what the landscape of what, as a company of our size, what do we want to approach? Because there's certain jobs that are going to be more in line of a much bigger company, or some jobs are going to be for smaller companies. So we have to make sure we partner with the right customers,
sure.
and go after the right projects, so it's a win-win for us and the customer.
Hearing a lot more of that in the market these days is going after the right customer, not all of them. There's enough, yeah. I think, right mm-hmm. now to mm-hmm. go around, right? I know I talked to you and several others about record backlog, and things are picking up. I think the post-pandemic era is in full swing, certainly from a petrochem perspective, right?
So. Yeah, if you would, I'd say a quick story. I remember during COVID, especially I remember about May of 2020, when all of our refining customers and chemical companies started giving us the bad news that, hey, we're not going to continue this project. So like us, many companies, their backlog essentially vaporized. Some folks said, some people lost all of it. Some people lost 70-80%, but everybody lost a significant portion. So during COVID, we were basically a refining petrochemical construction company, if you will. And after COVID, you know, the amount of markets between now, you're looking at renewables, whether it's diesel, aviation fuel, semiconductors, food plants, carbon black, wood pellets, the market has really expanded. But more importantly, during COVID, I remember talking to folks from the engineering companies. And at the time, there was a lot of feed packages in-house, but not a lot of construction. It's a construction that's sort of going away. And now that wave of those packages is hitting the market, which is creating record backlog for companies, which now you have to be strategic in what jobs you go after. But the good news is, if you talk to the engineering companies, they're still full of packages. They're still full of feed packages. So that wave, as many people call it, next industrial revolution, is not only going to be for the next 2 to 3 years, but I foresee it for at least another 4 to 5, maybe 6 years, because you still have a lot of feed packages in production that are going to hit the market in the next 2 to 3 years.
Awesome. Well, that's good news. You mentioned IRA, and I know specifically because I work with you within ABC as well. You've been heavily involved in talking to legislators about the IRA and how we work with it and how we stay in compliance with some of the renewable projects. So tell us about that work and what you're doing and how Cajun's attacking that.
So that's a big topic. I think we could probably have a whole discussion just on that.
Yeah,
so
I'll give several about them.
A quick snippet. And I don't pretend to know everything about it, but we had a recent visit with ABC to Washington, D.C., and we were able to meet with several legislators, in particular Kevin McCarthy, and we talked about the IRA. And, you know, with the IRA, it's really propped up the construction market, which is a good thing. Through the debt ceiling discussions and the IRA discussions, there's a lot of money being handed out, or should say potentially handed out by the government, to help these renewable plants, even some of these things like SNRs, these nuclear reactors that are now hitting the market as clean energy. And the good thing about that is it's creating a lot of jobs for us. It's creating a lot of growth in the industry. The only negative that could potentially be is a lot of these projects at the end are going to get evaluated by the IRS agents, right? As that group of folks get peeled back through the new debt ceiling discussions, you may not have enough on the market to do a full justification, or you may just not, or as a political landscape change in the offices, those opportunities may go away depending on what the new legislation wants. We have an election coming up in I believe next year, and I don't know what it's going to end up, but it depends what that landscape looks like to see how these projects will continue. But for now, I do think it's very positive.
Good. And how are you guys attacking the apprenticeship, more the Department of Labor parts of the bill around apprenticeship? I know you and I have talked because Apache's dealing with it every day. So how are you guys attacking that?
So that's a great question. We recently had a meeting with a refining company on the Gulf Coast, and one of their questions to us was, how are we going to supply the credibility and background of our craft to where we can meet the needs of the IRA specifications? And the IRA specifications are very clear on what you need. But what a lot of folks don't know in the industry is that Zeke and I are on the board of a group called ABC. ABC has something in Houston called the CMEF group, and elsewhere it's just more aligned with ABC, but CMEF is part of ABC. CMEF offers and is qualified in their apprenticeship programs backed by the correct parameters we need to justify that craft, which is non-union, on the job sites. So most of the speculations or most of the specifications in those packages make it easy to use union labor. Well, you have an option now. You could use union labor if you want, but they're also with the CMEF and the apprenticeship programs. Now you have qualified candidates that are more merit shop based. So now you have an option of both.
Sure. It's great. Chad?
So jumping in here, I know that we had a chance to really get to know each other a lot better over a recent kind of big news, groundbreaking project that you guys have worked on. Why don't you talk us through Project Blue Bonnet, I think appropriately named, but talk us through Cal and that job and a little bit about what y'all are building right now here in Pasadena.
So that's an exciting story, especially for the area. When I really think about news to the area, this really gets me excited for folks that are living in the Deer Park, LaPorte, the Great Houston Gulf Coast area right here. So you're right. So this goes back 3 years ago. Actually, goes back to 19, right before COVID. We had heard some rumblings of a potential specialty chemical plant being built here in the Gulf Coast. My first thought was, is there any landscape real estate left on the ship channel to even build? And, you know, over the time, after doing our diligence, we found that the company that at the time was looking at or still is looking at, or did end up looking at and buying it, it's a company called Cal, K-A-O. They're a specialty products provider. Actually provide a lot of soaps and shampoos and other things that you would all recognize
consumer
as
goods,
name,
right?
Consumer
yeah,
goods.
Right.
So in their journey, they were really looking at two markets, the Florida market and the Houston market, and as well as Miami and other ports. And ultimately, they settled on Houston because of the access and the waterways coming into Houston and the branches you have to get their products out to multiple parts of the United States. So ultimately, they came to Houston back in 2019, found some land on the ship channel that was covered a lot of trees, and purchased it. And after that, they started a development. So we started meeting with them back in late 2020, 2021, and looking at different variations of the project. So basically, we had a kickoff meeting, groundbreaking. So Chad was gracious enough to come and speak. The executive panel from Japan flew over for the event. Chad gave a nice speech about the alliance and not only what you guys are doing here, but how you're helping companies grow the area and what you're really doing for the market here locally. So that project's going to be about 18-month long project. It's going to employ about 500 craft all together for construction. So
beautiful.
So the beauty about that will be an opportunity for not only subcontractors, different facets of subcontracting, but for ongoing labor when you start the plant up. So mm-hmm. you're going to have a crew that's going to operate that plant.
Sure.
And they're going to make a specialty product that it can sell into the Houston market. So from just a local presence to an economic alliance, attraction to the area, I mean, it's just a great success story. And we're going to do the construction management on it. And then we're going to manage the whole project from start to finish.
Yeah, fantastic project. A couple of quick notes. So one, you know, you heard it's a Japanese-owned company. 60% of its downstream chemical manufacturing along the Houston Ship Channel is foreign direct investment. So there's another perfect example. Cal has no presence in this market right now. And so they were able to find, locate, and this is where we came in, gosh, baby, 4 or 5 years ago when they were first looking for the property. I know our former VP of Economic Development, Fred Welch, actually took them out there and showed them that property back in the day.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
so great. it goes back really, really far, but that's a piece of property, former Sunoco facility that was scraped to the ground I don't want to use the word abandoned, but it had sat for over 15 years.
Wow.
And so now Cal comes in with a great relationship and the help of Cajun. And they're going to, the initial investment is roughly $250 million, you know, with a phase two and phase three over the next several years. It's going to be a significant investment. So you take a piece of property that's not generating any product, any jobs, any tax base, and then you infuse all of this activity into it. And then the products and the indirect jobs that are created, the tax base that City of Pasadena, the Mayor of Pasadena was at the groundbreaking as well. Those things feed into growing the economy. That's what we're all about, right? That's the perfect example of new projects with great capital investment driving job creation, which drives retail and housing demand, and you know creates all the great things that we have here in this region.
And so quite literally, consumer goods, right?
Absolutely, and then consumer goods, right?
You know, a lot of folks throw the word circular economy around. If you think about it, this is a circular economy in action. You have a company comes in, buys a piece of property that now becomes a productive and efficient use of that land. Mm-hmm. Not only are we getting tax dollars from it, but now look at the jobs, which
exactly.
is go back into the local community. I mean, it's just a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
What I love, and I know we're all celebrating this whole thing, is like what you said, that their reason for picking Houston is exactly what we say about why you should come to Houston every time. It's like, we're not just, this isn't political speak here. This is the actual facts of why you should choose this port. And I love that they chose that piece of property in this port because of that exact reason. Like, no, well, of course you did, right?
Well, we have some significant advantages. It's the largest port on the Gulf Coast. It's the number one exporting port in the country. And that speaks directly to what their needs were, right? So that's the type of thing that all of our members in the Economic Alliance help us continue to stay competitive in. When we're talking about public policy in D.C.,
right.
we're talking about infrastructure to maintain our competitive advantage. We're talking about workforce development to, again, be able to ensure those companies, yeah, I can build there and I can have the workforce that, one, is qualified and is going to be, you know, the quantity of that workforce, the supply of it's going to be there and be a consistent bonus for us. So.
And one thing I would like to say with this time, what I would call almost industrial revolution within the industry, not just in Houston, but across, you know, all of North America, the thing that we're now facing is the importance of craft. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I think you would hear across all levels is we have a shortage of craft. We need to develop more craft. We need to to encourage more folks to get into this field. I don't think it's a lack of want. It may be a lack of knowledge. So one thing that, you know, Zeke and I also do is we're part of a committee that donates money to high schools. And basically through the organizations, we work with local high schools to create welding programs, carpentry programs, programs to help craft at an early age, because college isn't for everybody. In today's world, I'm not sure that college is necessary for everybody, because you can get out of high school and make a really good living in this industry. If you look at the wages that they pay for craft coming out of, high school, over a four-year period, if you invest in that versus college, you might have an argument that maybe that might be a better option.
Absolutely. And that effort creates awareness. The efforts that, y'all do with ABC and those different organizations that we do with, our right. Dream and Do It program and Patty Bill,
right.
it creates awareness and gives those students options where if they don't know about it, you can't step into these roles and these lifestyles and kind of live the American dream without the access, the door being opened. And what you're doing really, really begins to open the opportunities for kids who would not otherwise realize that, hey, you know, for a $5,000, you know, a couple of years of training, associate's degree or technical certification, I can raise my family, buy a house, have a great,
right.
have a great quality of life. Right here in our backyard, you know, that's those right. types of things.
Yeah, I mean, welding, carpentry are fairly famous craft professions. Talk about a guy who does scaffolding. There's not a lot of kids who are like, I want to grow up and be a scaffold builder.
Yeah,
right. So getting in front of them and saying, hey, you can make a living. We, you earn while you learn. The apprenticeship
work with
program,
your hands. You get out. You know, you're not stuck in an office all day.
And what we do a lot, we talk about a lot is, like us, right? We talk a lot about parents still think college is the, you know, their preferred answer for their children when they survey parents. But we start talking about companies like Cajun, Apache, and other ones. You can go to work, make a living, and perhaps that company
absolutely.
Will reimburse you for college later on. Right?
Absolutely.
So we were fighting college debt for several years, right out of college. These kids are keeping, maybe not making as much as we did when we started, but they're keeping a heck of a lot more than we did when we started and less debt, right? So I think that's the big narrative. So
to your point, one other thing I wanted to say is, what I'm happy to say is on our recent trip to Washington as a group, we talked a lot about the need for craft and talked a lot about with the different politicians and senators that they're how they can help us.
Sure.
And you know, I will say I was very happy with the receptivity of all political parties. You know, jobs are across all political parties.
Yep, that's right.
So people don't, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, it doesn't matter. And I was very happy that, you know, I can list a list of politicians that we talked to, their senators in Texas, and every one of them said, how can we help with workforce development? What can we do when we go back to our areas and talk to our constituents to help? Because opening the eyes of politicians gets the word out a lot faster than you, the three of us can. Podcasts are great, but they have a lot more traction,
sure.
whether it's Twitter, whether it's—
They got a few more listeners than the podcast.
You know, I would say one or two, not
right.
many.
Right.
But the reality of it is I was very happy to see they are supportive of the industry.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they're supportive because the industry is not just oil and gas or just renewables. It's semiconductors.
Mm-hmm.
It's wood pellets. It's all food processing plants. So construction touches every facet. It just, a lot of people think of construction as oil and gas in Houston because that's a lot of what it is, but it's not that case anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention Chad's famous 7X, right? For every job created in oil and gas or petrochem, there's seven jobs created outside of that, right? The ripple effect down
yep.
the way. So your project and the craft, every time we land that job, there's a ripple effect of other opportunities, which is awesome. So, all right, back to you. So you've experienced a lot. I've seen a lot of it, of your career, advancement with former company and then being, you know, working with you at Cajun. So if you were to have to reflect on some characteristics of what made you successful in your life, and you've maybe passed that on to your children or coworkers or teammates. What are some things that you think have helped define your success?
You know, that's a good question, Zeke. In fact, my son is graduating high school. He's going to college, and recently we attended some of the high school graduation parties. And you know, it was kind of interesting to see these young men that came in and out of my house for years, all of a sudden now realizing, oh, I'm going to college. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. And the question becomes is, how can I make money? How can I be successful? And I would tell them the same thing. You know, there's no magic bullet. Work hard. You got to work hard. You got to outwork your competition. But you can't teach drive. And you can't teach someone to have that drive and determination to get out of bed every morning, figure out what to do that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell them if you're waiting to that morning to figure out what your action plans of the day, you're not going to make it. So I'd love to sit here and say, you know, there's a silver lining on the horizon that if you do this, you're going to be successful. But it's not. But it all comes down for me is really it's drive, determination, and communication. If you can do those three things and do them well, you will be successful. And whatever you pick, because without communication, you can have all the drive and determination, but if you can't communicate your thoughts and your sure. actions, then it's irrelevant.
That's right. So I assume your son's going to go to A&M or Alabama, right? Is that where he's going? I assume.
You know, let's just say Purple Girl runs deep in our family. You know, it's kind of hard because
I may or may not have already known that answer. You know,
I could have guessed it. Yeah,
it's kind of hard when you dress him up in LSU gear when he's one,
sure.
and that's all he sees. But
poor kid.
Now I have two more.
That's all I could get into.
I do have two more. One of them's an Aggie fan, so I don't know where that's going to end up. But I don't know if we're going to pay for A&M, but he may go there.
Yeah. We can only hope. That's what I'm saying. We can just hope you raise that one right.
That's right. It's usually the youngest one that gets to watch the other ones' mistakes. It's like, you know what? I'm going to go a different direction here.
Yeah, just saying.
Well, besides that, obviously, I'm sure you're a proud papa for the oldest one going to LSU. But any other highlights between either professional or personal you'd like to share with us as we wrap up the show?
Yeah. You know, one of the things my father did for me growing up, he always taught me about, you know, make sure you understand the value of a dollar, not because it's the ultimate importance, but because that's how you survive. Right. But also understand mm-hmm. the value of the dollar, but understand how to treat people, how to respect people, how to deal with tough people. Cause in the world we live in, there are people that are hard to deal with. Mm-hmm. So ever since my kids were little, I have three boys, twins that are 16 and an 18-year-old is going to college, obviously. And since they were little, I always told them, when time comes and you get your license, you're going to have to get a job just like I did, you know, and sometimes, as we all know, your kids look, their friends aren't working and they're wondering why do I need to get a job? So, you know, one small, I think, factor I look at today that I hope yields success for my kids is, you know, at 16, the rule is you had to get a job. So all three of my kids got jobs at 16. The other two have jobs and they're working, earning money and paying for Starbucks, right? So Starbucks, it's $4. That's what I hear. It's only $4 to get a cup of coffee. But you understand how long you now, how many hours you have to work to make that $4. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so my goal is to
how much the government takes.
Well, my one of my twins got his first paycheck a month ago. And the first question he asked is, what do they do with tax dollars, Dad? And I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know, son. I'm still trying to figure that out.
That's right. Who's this FICA? Fuda Suda. Who is that?
That's great.
I love it.
Great.
But, you know, to wrap it up, I think one of the things I'm most proud of, among many things, is my hope is that by them doing something as simple as getting a job, not anything extravagant, but getting a job, mm-hmm. help them understand how to deal with somebody who's having a bad day that day. How do you talk to them? How do you keep positivity in the air when you're having a bad day? Mm-hmm. Then also, how do you begin to realize, how do you manage money at a very young age to where you're not 70 years old still having to go to work because you didn't save right throughout your life?
Yeah
no doubt.
Let me brag Please. On Stuart one time real Please. Quickly, because you're preaching one of your three tenets is communication, right? So through the process with the kind of the kickoff of the project at Cal, I got to witness the relationship that I saw had been built between Cal and Cajun, and a lot of that being Stuart. And they, as a company, we see a lot of projects that size come and go, and companies handle it in different ways. I could tell that they had faith and trusted this man because of the relationship that they had been able to build, sure. You know, kind of through that over 3-year process, right? And they would go to him as a trusted advisor to say, okay, what next? What next? How do we do this? How, you know, we're branching into this industry all the way through our meeting with Commissioner Garcia, you know, to kind of get the project connected with our county permitting and all those things.
Right.
But the way that Cal related to and the relationship that they had built speaks volumes to the communication part that you're talking about. They trusted Stuart, and they leaned on that expertise, because I think he does a great job, you know, putting that communication part of it into play.
I'm definitely appreciative and humbled for that comment.
Yeah.
But in the same regard, I'll say the Economic Alliance really helped us connect the political dots, because early on in the process, that was one of the concerns Cal had, was we're a foreign entity, right?
Yeah.
We're not in Houston. What are we going to do to make sure that we're insured with the local government, the local people making the permitting decisions, that they're going to grant us those permits?
Yeah.
And Chad and his group did an outstanding job connecting us to the right people, Adrian Garcia being one of them, but a few others, to make sure that we path the way for a successful project.
Awesome. Well, as we wrap up, we always give our guests the opportunity to express any kind of gratitude or thanks to folks that may have, you know, short-term or long-term, helped them along in their career, maybe helped you gain that skill, that relationship building and trust and communication along the way that may be one of your strengths. So I'll give you that opportunity before we wrap up.
So, you know, there's quite a few folks I would have to show appreciation for shaping me for the person I am. I would say, you know, my parents being one of them.
Sure.
But in the industry particularly, you know, there's one gentleman who I've met, I think about 20 years ago, he sort of pulled me on his wing. Don't know why. It was at a former company. And taught me about communication and the importance of communication. And if you don't have good communication, mm-hmm. you can have the best ideas you want, but if you can't verbally communicate it, it's no good. And that was Brett Hughes. Brett was ran our global strategy group at Nalco Champion for years. He also works at Cajun. He's in the twilight years of his career, but he has taught me a lot about how to act, how to engage with customers, the importance of just overall being a good human being.
That's another salt of the earth, having known Brett myself. He's a great human being. So, Stuart, great conversation.
Great.
Congrats on all the success, mm-hmm. both personally and professionally. Sans the kid going to LSU thing.
Go Tigers.
Good luck with that. But anyway, you guys are on a high right now. I'll give it to you, right?
Gosh.
Yeah.
We just need a national championship on football this year
to
wrap it all up.
Yeah.
Never happy. Anyway, great show, Chad. Thanks for stepping in.
Absolutely.
Great to have you as always. And thanks again to Stuart. We don't do this enough, so thank you again to our wonderful producer, Mandy, for
Absolutely.
Making us sound and look way better than we deserve. And again, thanks for joining us, guys. We always ask you if this show helped Stuart's story, the story of Cajun, the exciting new project announcements in the area, which is a tenet of our organization. If this helped you or you think anybody else, we highly encourage you to pass it forward to anyone you think this would help or inspire or encourage, or hey, reach out to Stuart if you're looking to do some work Caliber plant down the road here. So again, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We're on all your platforms, whether it be YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. So subscribe to our channels. That's economicalliance.com on the media tab, and subscribe, and you get to look at our pretty faces or hear our voices all the time. So thanks again. Be safe and take care of one another. See you next time, guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to go to the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region website and subscribe to our channels. And let's pay it forward by sharing the good news of what's happening in our region by passing this episode to somebody you know.